morning comes from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Mike, can you pray? Can you pray, sir?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, again, I thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning. I thank you for giving us all a chance to come together as your body, in your house, and to learn more about you and to praise you and worship you. For Pastor Mike this morning, Father, I just ask that you would fill him up to overflowing, and whatever message you have for us this morning, I just ask you to pour that through Pastor Mike. I thank you for his faithfulness. I thank you for his obedience. I thank you for his love for all of us. I thank you for his wisdom and his guidance and his strong desire to lead us in your will. I just ask this morning again, you open our hearts, open our minds, open our spirits to hearing and learning more of you. And for Pastor Mike, that you would just pour it through him and again, fill him up at all this morning as he leads us. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mike. Good morning. Before I begin, I just want to say just a couple things. Do not forget to keep the Newton family in prayer. Lots of things are coming at their family. Once again, I'll steer you to Pastor Donnie, who is most current with what's happening there. You can talk to Judy as well. Anybody from their life group, they'll know what's going on. But keep them lifted up in prayer. Share in their grief so that they know that you're sharing in their grief with them, and it helps us all get through it. In Jesus' name. I also, before I start, I want to thank you. The giving to Paul and Christine Pierre was outstanding. It was unbelievable what you guys did. So I'm going to let you clap for yourself for how you gave to a missionary to do the good work. So you can do that right now. We're going to probably hear from him again. The last 2 weeks that we spoke in Colossians, we really spoke to more of the theological perspective of that book. And I love that stuff because it tells us, once again, who God really is. And we get a better idea as to the, I'm going to invent a word here, magnanimity? Is that a word? Magnanimous? Matrimony? No, okay. It will be someday. But just how big our God is. These next two chapters are going to talk to the practical components that Paul speaks to when he's speaking to the Colossians. I love the practical too, because it tells me exactly what I need to do to begin to live a life as I ought to live for my benefit and for the benefit of those around me. So we begin with where we really are before we even come to Christ. And I think most of you know this, but I think it's good to set this contrast. Before knowing Christ, in John 8:23 it says, "And he said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world." What a statement. If you're lost and you do not know who Christ is and you never put him in the place of your life as Lord, this is your reality. He's from above, you're from beneath. He's from spiritual places, we're from earth. Just to know who we really are. In John 18:36, it says, Jesus answered, he says, "My kingdom is not of this world." It's not of this world. "If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." And then a very familiar scripture is John 3:17. It says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the one and only begotten Son of God." So if you are not in Christ again, I'll say, you are already condemned. Well, I wasn't that bad. It doesn't matter. You weren't that good. None of us are. It's about what Christ has done, and if you don't have Christ, you are of this world. And you are condemned. What a hard thing to say to a bunch of nice people on a Sunday. That you are condemned if you don't know him. It's a reality. And we need to know this reality so we can make a wise, informed decision. And by the way, informed is nice, but spirit-led is even better. Because there's a clarity to that. John 12:47 says, "If anyone hears my words and does not believe, says, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save it." Why did he have to save it? Because it was condemned. And that's why he's here. And whenever you hear somebody talk about Jesus as Savior, Jesus as Lord, Jesus is the only way, we're talking about this, that he came to save us from that condemnation. Until then, like I said before, we are from beneath. He is from above. There's a way that that scenario changes for all of us. First thing I want to share, number one, is to set your mind on things above. Colossians 3:1 says, "Then you were raised with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God." Seek those things which are above. Do your eyes go to above, or do your eyes go to your situation? Do your eyes go to your fear? Do your eyes go to those things that come at you every day? Or do you look above? Do you seek him? Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Do you do that? Do I do that? Do we do that? Do we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? And the Bible says that everything else will be added to you. You're going to be all right. Seek things above. Second thing is this. It says, verse 2, it says, "Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth." Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight." Okay, you heard that before. Set your mind on things above. Your mind, your attention, your focus, your desire to know. Set those things on things above. Where do we set them? I know where I set my things. And I know I have to wrestle with it all the time. There's a lot that I've got to think about. Are the Brewers going to win the division? That's important. What's going to happen in the game today? That's really important. And I tend to set my mind on those things. And they're not really that important, but I make them that important. You know what I'm saying? Set your mind on things above. What does that mean? That means I have an eternity or an eternal thinking going on in my head. I'm thinking about eternal things. Right now, very honestly, right now, is I am thinking about you and your salvation. And if you're good, I am thinking about you and your discipling, your growth in Christ. I'm thinking about you and where you go from today to the next day. That's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about my family. Is my family doing right? Do they know who Christ is? Oh, there's a person in my family who doesn't know Jesus. I'm thinking about that all the time. What can I do? Lord, steer me. What should I do? How shall I pray? How do I do that? I'm thinking eternally about the things that truly matter. This vapor, this breath of life that we live in is so short. It's unbelievably short. You know, I came to a point where, and I've shared this before, where I think I reached a halfway point and it just kind of rocked me a little bit of my lifespan. Well, I was a fool. I was a fool. I reached my halfway point a long time before I thought I did. And now, oh man, my time is short. I got just a little bit of time left. What am I thinking about? I'm not really thinking so much when I think like this. I'm not thinking about the Brewer game so much. Not really thinking so much about what's going to happen this afternoon. I'm not even thinking about the fun things I like to do. I'm thinking about eternal things. And that's what we're to think on. Think on the things that matter. Think on that what matters. Can you imagine standing before the throne of God, defending yourself apart from Christ? Saying, well, Judge, I supported the Booster Club. I was part of one of those benevolent organizations that gave money to do good things. And I was a Packer backer. Kind of proud of that one. I bought a certificate that says I'm part owner. I did that. And I begin to think that standing at the judgment, and that's the defense. Oh, wait, I was really a good guy. People liked me. I was a good guy. And he's going to tell me to get over there with the goats. Over there with the shaft. Because it's not good enough. Because unless I get in on the coattails of Christ, because I know him, and I made myself known to him, and he knows me, and he makes himself known to me, the judge will say, enter into thy glory. That's what I think about. I think about it all the time with people I love. God is so good that he's even helping me to think about it for people I don't love, that I really don't care about. That guy's a knucklehead. Lord Jesus, I just pray for that knucklehead that he comes to know you. That person wronged me, Lord Jesus, I pray for that person that wronged me. You might heal him. The person that hit me in a car accident. Lord Jesus, what about that person in my life? So I just pray for the person that hit him and hurt him out. Still working through my stuff, obviously. Not supposed to do that. Feels good, though. Why do we do all this stuff? Philippians 3:20 says, for our citizenship is in heaven. That's where my citizenship is. You know, we got a big vote going on in Israel. We, because they're our ally. Big vote. Pray for them. Pray for what's going on in Israel. We got a big vote coming up here in a couple years. Pray about that vote. But don't let it so overwhelm you that you're stuck on CNN and Fox and all these different news stations and getting all worked up and so angry and so, this world is going crazy. Of course it's going crazy. God said it was going to go crazy. How about this? Fix your eyes upon him. Know that your kingdom is from another place. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes on Christ. And why do we do that? It says in Colossians 3:3, it says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's security. That's salvation. That's eternal life. And now my only issue is who gets to come with me because I am right before God. Who gets to go with you because you are right before God? Thank you, Jesus. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. We should be so excited about that. We appear with him in glory. Thank you, Jesus. So what's the problem? The problem is I still wrestle with the old man. I do. And if you don't wrestle with the old man or woman, I'm going to just suggest that you may be in some sort of denial. Step out of your denial and know that you wrestle with things so you can address them and take care of them. So that you can pray about them and ask for repentance. Ask to God to help you to repent, to give you strength to repent, to change. That's what I heard in this message today. We get to that place. We say, God, I'm sorry. But not with my human sorrow, with a deeper, deeper spiritual sorrow. Thank you. Because that leads to life. The other one leads to death. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Point two, put to death the old man that you were. Put to death the old man that you were. There's 2 points within this one. One is fleshly and physical, and you heard it, you saw it, the expression of the heart. Colossians 3:5 says, therefore put to death your members, which are on the earth. And then it gives us a list of things. You see lots of lists of things. God is doing a work in all of us. Put away, put to death, fornication, uncleanness, passion. There's good passion, but there's not this kind of passion. The evil desire, covetousness, idolatry. Put those things away. These are things that lead to the flesh and go to central places to disrupt the order of the way things were supposed to be. Yeah, but they're a lot of fun. He said they would be a lot of fun for a short season. Yeah, but everybody else is. He said everybody else is. He said that road is wide and many taken. Yeah, he said those things were going to happen. Don't follow the everybody. Follow him. Turn your eyes upon him. You're a fool's fool if you follow the crowd. You know what? I'm going to just share this with you. Even as a pastor in a church who meets with other pastors of other churches, or I connect with the pastor group, I still have a hesitation to go where they're going. Some of that's my own issue. Some of it is God's issue, saying, don't go where they're going. Go where I'm going. Boy, is that a word. You know what that does? It just wipes away the excuse of hypocrisy for not coming to Christ. Go where he's going, not where they're going. Don't follow that person that says they're a Christian and doesn't live like one, and then you say, I'm throwing the baby out with the bathwater in my faith because that person's an idiot, or a liar, or a fraud, or a counterfeit. No! Follow him. He is truth. He does not deceive. He's not a counterfeit. He is the real article, and he is the way to salvation. He doesn't let us down. He is always with us. So how do we do this? I'm going to speak for me. I have to begin first for me, just by taking every thought captive. Because for me, and just like here, my thoughts are the first stage in my sin. My thoughts take me to places I shouldn't go. And it grows from there. And I'm not really stronger than my thoughts, so I have to deliberately take them captive. And if there's a repetitive mantra that I'm using, it's, Lord, forgive me. Change my heart. Take that thought from me. In fact, I bind that thought in Jesus' name. And you know what I'm doing 5 seconds later? Lord Jesus, you know the thoughts I have. Take them from me. I don't want those thoughts. I bind them in Jesus' name. And 15 seconds later, Lord Jesus, I got it. Yeah, I'm not thinking about it so much now. Take your thoughts captive. And that, you know, it's easy to think about sensual things when we do that, but this is other things that stir our emotions. How about anger and rage at somebody and the things you wish and hope upon? Lord Jesus, take that thought away from me. Forgive me and help me to forgive them. In Jesus' name. Let love come out of me. In Jesus' name. Even concerning those people that have hurt me. That was the example that Christ gave us. Thank you, Jesus. So take every thought captive. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world. That's what I was talking about before. How do I combat this? How do I set myself apart? How do I be heavenly minded? I don't conform to the world. Do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do I renew my mind? Honestly, it's by being in God's Word. The beautiful thing about life groups is there's a systematic weekly study of God's Word. If you look on the bottom of your bulletin, you're going to see scriptures. Those scriptures are what's going to be preached on next week. You have a whole week to be digging in on. The life groups are going to go over those scriptures in more depth, and more fun, and more creativity, and more joy. Because we're doing it together. We're two or three are gathered together in His name. He's there in the midst of them. And I can feel it. We can feel it in our group. Thank you, Jesus. Don't conform to this world. Be transformed from this world by the renewing of your mind. In Jesus' name. Why is that such a big deal? Because of these things, before Christ, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. The wrath of God is coming. And it's coming on who? The sons of disobedience. I was in our life group, and actually this is before my life group. I was talking with Peter Falk, and he's saying, yep. He must have heard, I think he told me he heard this from another guy. He says, God has no more wrath. He has no more wrath for the believers. There's none left. It's been used up. It was used up on the cross of Calvary by Christ. Christ took all his wrath concerning his children, believers. However, I'm going to be really clear. There's plenty left in the tank. He has plenty left for those who are sons of disobedience who have walked away from the faith. What does it look like? I'm thinking of looking like lots of the things that we see on the media. Some of it. There's wrath being exercised, but that pales in comparison to what's coming. There's a greater wrath coming. You don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to be a part of that. Thank you, Jesus. Sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. And I told you about there's no more wrath for the believer. How come? Because Isaiah 53:10 talks about how it pleased God to bruise him, to hurt him. That's Jesus. The Father was pleased to do that. That means he was satisfied with the price that was paid for the sin of mankind, is what it really means. Thank you. Don't diminish what he did for you on the cross. Don't say it wasn't enough. Don't say I have to do more. Receive what he did. Trust in what he did. And thank him for what he did for you, because it is the only way for us. In Jesus' name. Second list he gives us speaks more to the emotional roots of what's in our heart. First one was more physical things, sensual things that led to physical things. Now it's emotional roots of a wicked heart that we have. Colossians 3:8 says, but now you yourselves are to put off, man, put to death, put off, root out, dig, get the roots of these things out of you, take captive, so that there's no residual thing that steers you apart from God. And by the way, it hurts. It just plain old hurts to do that sometimes. Those roots run so deep, and you take them out, it hurts. I had a sister who had some cancer cells removed from her leg, and her husband touched her leg, and she's like, oh, the pain. Yeah, there's pain to root out sin in our lives. But what do we have to do? We have to replace that sin. We have to replace those behaviors. We have to replace that relationship. But this time we replace it with something that's real and sustaining. And healing will come. If we go through some rough patches and some tough times, Jesus said we would. It's okay. Right, James? Valley? It's okay. We're going to go through a hard time. But he says, be of good cheer. I've overcome all of this. You're going to go through a time. It's all right. I'm there with you. I never leave you. I never forsake you. So what are these things he tells us to put off that are of an emotional root? He says, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Wow. Sometimes I feel like I'm afraid to walk or talk. And you know what? Should be. Should be. I think my walk is okay. When I think it is, I know what I struggle with. But my talk? I got a ways to go. I probably said three things up here that I was probably pushing the envelope on. These things have come out of your heart. Words hurt. Words are painful. Emotions that we have and imposed on other people are dangerous. You just heard we had Celebrate Recovery did the Walk for Life. To come against suicide, how many people have lost their lives because of horrible things that were said to them that they couldn't handle or deal with? As a pastor, that's been one of my experiences during the funeral for one kid in particular who couldn't handle the things that were said about him, and he took his life. He was a pretty normal kid otherwise. How many other kids, young kids, lose their life because they can't handle what was said? Or to domestic violence. How many times does one spouse or another lose their life because of something the spouse said to them? The one they're supposed to be closest to. Words hurt, and they hurt deeply. And why do they come out? Because that's what's in our heart. Anger, wrath, malice. filthy language, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, it says in Luke. Guard your heart. If you guard your heart and take care of your heart, everything else is fine. You know, I want my heart in peace. I pray this every time. Lord, fill me with your peace. And what is that? The peace that gives me the confidence to speak. The peace that with the words that come out, whether they be hard, they receive well, and they give you peace. The peace that when I go from this place, there's a contentment. Peace is broad and it's big. The peace that commands, peace, be still. When Jesus speaks to the sea, and the sea calms, the peace that has strength and power. I want that. I want that to be in my heart, so out of the outflow of my heart, that comes out. Thank you, Jesus. And then in verse 9, it says, the last one of that grouping, it says, do not lie to one another, since you've put off the old man. Just putting off the old man is hard. Clothing yourself in the new man is where I'm going. My old man is not my dad, me. The old man that I was, not a good person. You know, this happened this week, I went down to the basement. Now, in the basement in our house, we have a pipe. And that pipe is the perfect place for me to hang my shirts and stuff in the basement. And it's just perfect. Because I can go right from the dryer. I don't have to fold anything right on the hanger in the basement. And so I shared this in the office because I was embarrassed. But so there's some things I haven't worn for a while. I tend to wear the same thing over and over again, right, Tracy? So I said, I haven't worn this in a while, so I put this shirt on. And I'm ready to go, and I put the shirt on, and I give Sally a hug and a kiss, and oh my goodness, she goes, oh, you stink. what do you mean I stink? You know, I couldn't smell it. That's another clue to us. I couldn't tell. No, honey, it's bad. I'll be all right, but I've been thinking about it. So I go to meet with the pastors on Thursday, and I'm thinking about this stench that I'm carrying around. But I can't tell what's really there. It's kind of faint. I'm okay. And I got to it, but then I see a kid that used to be in my youth group years ago. And that's always a Pastor Mike kind of a thing. And I know what's going to happen. She's going to want to come up and give me a hug. And then I start thinking about this stink. Do you know when you have something on your body that like it stinks, like our basement? Or anybody's basement, probably for that matter? When you sweat, it magnifies. You knew that, right? Men know this because they never wash their towels. They feel they can squeeze another day or two out of it. But what does it really smell like? It smells like mildew. Oh, I'll wash it. That doesn't work. That stench is in there. So that stench is all over me, and now I'm feeling it. Now I'm starting to smell at night. That didn't do her any good, but it got me out of there. I didn't have to see. Take off the old clothes. That's the thing. You have to take off the old clothes. I have to take them off, and I have to throw them. Some of my, they're beyond. They've been down there, 13, 14 months. Vinegar, baking soda, get rid of them. We'll do a bonfire, we're going to burn clothes. And I never knew it. It's interesting, that was in my basement. What places do we hang around in where the stench of that is all over us and everybody else can see it, smell it, taste it, and know it's there? Don't go to the places that bring upon that stench. You know, don't bring that on you. You're not kidding anybody. Most of all, you're not kidding God. In fact, do what I did. Realize that the stench is evident. By the way, this shirt was hanging right next to it in the washer. I washed it last night, hung it up in the closet upstairs. Hopefully that doesn't have its own fall order. Oh, that's where I keep my shoes. Huh. Sorry. I think you understand my point. Lying. It says, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man. And I said this 2 weeks ago, lying is no longer our language. That's the old man's father's language that we took on and made it our language. That's no longer my language or yours. Stop lying. Take the consequences of the truth, and you'll find out that they're bearable. You can handle it. They set you free. That's putting on my new self. Thank you, Jesus. God's language is truth. We should be bearers of truth. A lie causes others to stumble. A pattern of lying makes you a joke. Stop lying. For some, I can make a real flippant statement and say stop lying, but for some of you, it is so embedded in you that it's a process to get rid of lying. And you need the help of the Holy Spirit. You need the help of brothers and sisters to speak honestly to you and say, dude, you're a liar. Don't lie. You need people who confront in love and say, that's not the truth. And we have the right to confront each other as brothers and sisters in love, and this is tricky, in love about things that are out of order. And if you're over offended by it, then you better look at what they said, because there's probably a truth to it. If there's a misunderstanding, you get to share it there. Oh, I know what you're talking about. This is what happened. But believers in Christ, if we're talking about relationship with each other, we're talking about confronting in love. But we confront with truth. Always in grace and love. Pastor James, your worship team, come forward. Oh, thank you, Lord. We're putting on the new man. Colossians 3:10 says, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away, and behold, he makes all things new. That's what happens when you come to Christ. The old begins to pass away. We don't go back to the old. We embrace the new. The new? What does the new look like? Well, in verse 11, Colossians 3:11 says, where there is neither Greek, now there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ in all, Christ is all and in all. It says, therefore, as the elect of God and beloved, put on. Before we are taking off, casting off, digging out, burying dead. Now he says, put on. Remember I said to the person that had the cancer removed and her husband touched a leg and the pain that was there because something was taken out. It was painful to have something taken out. It's painful to change something. It's painful to remove that which is making you sick. But then we put on. Put on salve. Put on balm. Put on antiseptics and antibacterial. Put those on. But spiritually, we begin to put on Christ. This is where it comes. We put on Christ. It says this in verse 12. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. Put on kindness. Put on humility. Put on meekness. Put on long-suffering. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. And then it says down in verse 14, it says, put on love. The greatest of the things that we can put on is love. The Bible says that God is spirit and God is love. So when we put on love, we're putting on Christ. 1 Corinthians 13, I'm going to do another wedding coming up here soon. And I'm going to probably use that scripture because everybody loves that scripture because love is. And it's a beautiful thing because it describes and defines what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is this. Love is that. But if you read a little bit further, there's another kind of love, and it's the love that God has for us. And His love is perfect. His love is sacrificial. His love is denying Himself. His love is submission to the Father. And He's saying, put on that kind of love. And I would even give you a challenge. Instead of just clothing yourself in it, I would ask you to put it in you. Get that love in you. Clothing is an external thing. Let it get inside you. So out of the abundance of your heart that's inside you, out of the abundance of that, people feel love. They know love. They experience love. So he tells us something a little different, doesn't he? Just clothe yourself in this. Thank you, Jesus. Let your love be on display. Don't let it be so deep and hidden. Let it be made known to others. Let others know that you care about them and love them. Those who hate you, especially let them know. Those who are brothers and sisters in Christ, most definitely we're called to let each other know that we love each other. Let love come out of you. It can only come out of you if it's in you. And it only is truly in you if it's from Christ. Thank you, Jesus. And then it says, and let the peace of God, in verse 15, rule in your hearts, to which you are called the one body, and be thankful. I had a sister in my life group Wednesday say that peace is the only way, is one of the only ways that we know that God is in control. Thanks, Pat. Peace is one of the only real ways, one of them, that we know that God is completely in control. In the midst of the storm, there's peace. That's Mike. His wife's been in a car accident with her mother. You better go. Okay. I'm an emotional guy. I emote a little bit, but I'm okay. I drove. I didn't race. There was peace. I had peace. I get to the hospital. Jordan's wife, Alicia. You want me to park the car? Yeah, you park the car. And I was good. Until my son prayed for me. And then when my son prayed for me, then I'm a wreck, but a peaceful wreck. Then my son-in-law comes up. My son just shook his head and said, he's a little clear. I know, I'll overplay. That was good. I was so good I could say, hey, Taylor, can you make a few calls for me that I don't have to make? He said, I don't want to make that call. You have to. We're not stable. No, we had peace, though. And we walk in that all the time. I want that kind of peace. I want peace when I'm up against the things that are scary to me. I want peace. I want peace when conflict comes, like we were talking about before. And I want you to have it with me. We have peace. Thank you, Jesus. And the last part that I want to share with you, because there's another kind of clothing, and this is a little bit off the script, but I just saw this fitting so perfectly. There's clothing for spiritual purposes. Clothing for spiritual purposes. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last man, Adam, became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Thank you, Jesus. The natural comes first. We respond to the natural, but we need to get to the spiritual. As we've talked about for the last 35 years in this church, we have to get to the spiritual. And God gives us a way to do that in a very practical sense, even though it's spiritual. So we put on this supernatural kind of clothing, and we all know where I'm going. It's in Ephesians chapter 6, and we put on the armor of God. Colossians 2:10 says, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. And if they need you come against in the spirit realm, he's ahead of it. You need to know that. You need to have confidence in that. And there are things in that spirit realm. There are principalities and powers that are against us. But he is above them. He is Christ, is above them. In fact, he conquered them when he went to the cross. And what does he tell us to do? He says, you're going to go through some of what I went through. Just a little bit. You're going to go through some tough times. You're going to have some tribulation. You're going to have targets on your back if you follow me. I found that to be true in my own life. I'm sure it's true in most of you. Targets on our back. Here's what you do. You begin to put me on layer by layer by layer. You put me on. You take the belt of truth, and that's going to be the foundational piece of armor that you put on. You clothe yourself in truth. What is truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Your word is truth. Put that on. Don't follow crowds that go to high places with all kinds of new things. Stick to the macaroni and cheese. I was going to steal that message somehow, some way. That was so good. What else does he do? He says, just catch your heart. the breastplate of righteousness. Put on righteousness. Well, I'm a pretty good dude. No, you're not. Lose that thought. Put on His righteousness. The Bible says that my righteousness is filthy. His is true righteousness. So you clothe yourself in that righteousness. Take the helmet of salvation and put that on your head. Let nothing tell you you don't belong to God. If you are in Him, you are in Him. Know that. And let no lie of the enemy come and steal that from you. What is in His hand will not be taken away. Those whose hearts have truly been circumcised by God, and I mean truly circumcised, God hit the heart and transformed it. He will not lose any of those. Those who have a head knowledge of God, talk a good game, look a good game, they're fodder like anybody else. But those whose hearts have been transformed and changed, He doesn't lose them. Helmet of salvation, helmet of truth, breastplate of righteousness, and we need the shield of faith. Take that shield of faith because the enemy does have a target on your back. Well, I should probably have a back shield, but things come at us. The darts from the enemy, the Bible's really clear, that mess with our mind, shot. That belittle us, that tell us we're nothing, that says, go ahead and do that because He doesn't care about you anyway. All those kinds of things are darts from the enemy. You take the shield of faith and hold on to your faith. Don't deviate from your faith. Don't think there's another faith that's better. This faith is real. Hang on to your faith. And then shod your feet with preparation to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And with peace, the gospel of peace. Shod your feet with the gospel of peace. That when you speak life to people, there is peace. They feel it. And it's coming from you because it's in you. And they're more open and less resistant because you're doing it in love instead of anger or trying to prove a point or win an argument. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then it says, and then pray. Oh, it says to take the word of, thank you. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And that's what we're doing right here today. We're preaching by the word of God. Why? Because it is the word of God that penetrates and cuts, this truth cuts through the bone and marrow and gets to the very truth of things. Where you stand, where you are with God, and where you're not. That's what the word of God does, and it does it God's way. So when I say the word of God is this, and we talk about this list, and that list that we're not supposed to do, get mad at God. Because the word of God tells us about this, and the word of God is speaking the truth. So if you're going to be mad at anybody, be mad at Him. Jesus' name. Or see the truth that the word of God reveals and come to Him. And wrath does not come to you. Thank you, Jesus. This battle that we're talking about, you win when you're in Christ, when you put on this armor. This battle that we're talking about, He has already won. And so as our sister Jane always says, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. And the last thing I want to leave you with is we've been talking about the armor of God on us. We've been talking about putting on, clothing yourself in this and that. In verse 16 it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you. How do you get all this in you? Is by the word of God. It's where our faith grows. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Get it in you. That's the challenge to the church, is to be about the word. I heard a sister tell me that she feels like everywhere she turns, they're talking about the word, they're talking about the word, they're saying, get the word, you know, you be about the word. Yes, that's right. That means God's moving. And you know He's moving. If you don't see that clearly, look at the people that are against the word, against the word, against the word. They want to put up a chicken stand in town and they're against the word because of what the owner believes. Y'all know what I'm saying, okay? Yeah. Get it in you. Get it in you. If you don't get into a life group, look at the bottom of your bulletin and begin to do studies. If you need to know how to do studies, we'll teach you how to do them. And begin to study what we're talking about every week so you get a deeper understanding of that word. It becomes part of who you are. But the Bible says where two or more are gathered together in His name, He's there in the midst. It's better. when we do it together. Amen? Amen. I have the worship team up here. And if you do not have this Lord that we're talking about, who we talked about the last couple of weeks, who is supreme over all, and he gives us practical ways to live, but he is about the business of transforming your life to conform to him and not the world. He is the only way to the Father. That's the truth. If you want to avoid wrath, some people get into this because they want to avoid wrath. That's okay. Come on up here and you tell one of these people up here that you want to receive that. You want that Jesus to be your Lord. You want him to save you from that condemnation we talked about earlier. If you're one of those people that you are carrying burdens for the things he told us to get rid of and yet you still carry them, come up here. They'll pray for you. There's no judgment here. They'll pray for you about those things. If you can't say those things because they're too embarrassing, just say, I got things to get rid of. Just say that. Just say, I got things to get rid of. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to pray for you about things in general. I want to encourage you to come up here and do that. And the last one I want you to come up for, and we're going to dismiss it a little bit, so you're going to come up on your time with these prayer warriors. Pray for peace. That God would give you peace. A peace that passes our understanding. And you ask him for that. A peace that comes in times of trouble. A peace that builds you up to do the things he's called you to do. A peace that gives you a confidence in your faith. A peace that you eventually know who you are and whose you are. In Jesus' name. So if that's you, you come out here right now. I'm going to ask you guys to balance this out a little bit. You can just spread out. And come on up and get prayer for these things. So Heavenly Father, we just pray right now, in Jesus' name, that you stir the hearts of each one of us to take care of the business we need to take care of that you have laid on our heart. Things to put off and to do away with, to wash away. Things to take up and put on and clothe ourselves with. Whatever those are, Father, I pray that you bring us to the point where we get those out and get those made known, that you do this great work in us. I pray for each one of us in this area. And Father, I pray for each one that they would have a desire to put on the spiritual armor of God. That they take from the natural to the supernatural. The things you've called us to take. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. The altars are open.